So what do we? So let's talk about. Let's think about the machlokas over here in the Ran. The machlokas in Rishonim, whether we say that basically, you know, the Ran is saying that the reason why on Shabbos there's an iser being marbe b'shiurim is because it's dechuya, and as opposed to yontif, which is futra. So for Yontif, there's no issue to be marbe b'shiurim, but on Shabbos there is. And he's saying the difference is between Hutra and Dechuya. Yeah, but the other Rishonim don't seem to agree with that. I mean, the Rashba is also holds Dechuya by Shabbos. That's what the Kesef Mishnah said, and he holds that marbe b'shiurim on Shabbos is only issue to Rabbanim. So what do you say about the machlokas over here? Basically, between the Ran and the other Rishonim, that if you hold it's the Chuya, then Marbe Bishurim would be an Issa D'Raisa. And then that opens up the Minchas Chinuch's question on the Ran. But let's take the basic question first. The Chilik of Hutra D'Chuya according to the Ran, and apparently the way the other Rishonim we're going to learn D'Chuya on Shabbos. All right, so anyone say anything? Let's take a quick, careful look at the Ran. I think it, in his Lashon is where he reveals his thinking, right? Take a look at the Ran. In other words, when we're going to think about Dechuya, let's concentrate on the Dechuya case of Shabbos. So he says like this. He says like this. Where does he start? He says, "Shehashabbos duchuya hi etzel chola, velo hutra, ulefikach kol sheha'ikar malacha aser." Okay, he sounds like a Reb Chaim now. The ikar malacha is aser. Ah, tosfaso kamohu umitzer midaraisa. So he's emphasizing, I mean, like you were saying, John, but he's emphasizing that the Iker Malacha is Asur. Okay? The Iker Malacha is Asur, and therefore the extra will be like it. Funny way to put it. Tosfaso kamohu. Okay? And therefore it'll be an Issa D'Raisa when you need two and you collect a branch with three. But by Yom Tov, it's Huterba. Afilu Efshar. Me'erev Yom Tov. Shori kol shu marbe al ha'ikar. Okay, so again, he goes back to the ikar. So he's saying if the ikar is mutter, then being marbe is going to be the same thing. But if the ikar is usser, then it is going to be usser. And he uses the lashon Rashi. He does use that same lashon here, right? Then tosfaso kamo. So it's thinking like this. Now it's the way he see, and we have to leave room for the other shittas. So let's think about it like this. If we're going to say on Shabbos that the malacha is aser, right? Like thinking about our case of Tumah, it still exists as a conflict with Shabbos. We're not saying that this type of an action is in line with Kiddush Shabbos. No, Godly Kiddush Shabbos is a conflict. So it has the character of malacha on Shabbos. So what permits it? So how does it become permitted? How does it become permitted? So the Ran sounds like he's learning like this. He says malacha Shabbos has two, we have two elements to a malacha on Shabbos. Right, you have the ma'isa of the malacha, and then you have the totsa of the malacha. Right, you have to have a malachas machshavas, has to be a product, has to be an accomplishment. Okay, so he's learning like this. He says, when we say that Shabbos is dechuya, it means to say that any ma'isa, any product that the product of Ochel Nefesh on Shabbos is what removes the iser from the malacha. In other words, think about it like this. When the Torah says you can do malacha for ochel nefesh, for a chola, so that is a matir. And in a certain sense, we it's not considered the chilul Shabbos, right? We have to be careful how we think about things over here, okay? Somebody mentioned to me an idea the other day that it's like a chilul Shabbos, but there's no onesh, right? I don't think that's the idea. I don't think that's not quite the proper way to think about it. Okay, it's that because of chola, you're allowed to do this maiso, and it's not considered the chilul Shabbos. The person is not a machal Shabbos. We're not going to define the person as a machal Shabbos who simply doesn't get punished. That's not what we mean when we say even dechuya, right? Machal Shabbos or hesia, serious consequences. Aside for ownership. So it's obviously we're not going to say the guy is a machal Shabbos, but he gets a pass on ownership. He's indemnified. He's pardoned. And that's not what we mean. He can't say in any way he's osake in chilul Shabbos. So where does the chilul Shabbos go, right? Where does the chilul Shabbos go? So I think the Ron is saying like this, that on Shabbos, the definition of malacha is going to be totally on the product, right? I mean, it has to be an accomplishment on Shabbos. It has to be some kind of a tikkun, right? So the malacha is going to be defined, normally we'll say, you're chayav for kotzer on Shabbos when your maisa of, we have to have a physical description of the maisa, right? That's separating an object from where it's growing. When that maisa yields a product, okay? But when we say it's dechuyim mipnei pikuach nefesh, it means to say that the product of ochel nefesh is not considered a product of gabi malacha Shabbos. Okay? So therefore, when he does Kitzira, because the chola needs two brogros, it doesn't have the shame. The maisa of kotzer has no product of malechas Kitzira, because dechuya, because malechas Shabbos is dechuya etzel mipnei pikuach nefesh. But what the Ran is saying is, where's the dichui come in? The dichui comes in on redefining the products of malacha. You understand? The Iker Malacha, he says, remains Asr. It's not saying that this Maisa is not a Malacha. It's not a Maisa Malacha, the Gabi Shabbos. No, it's saying that notwithstanding that Kotzer is a Maisa Malacha, right, and always remains a Maisa Malacha, even for the person who's doing it for the Chola. The only thing is that the need of pikuach nefesh has its own chaloshem legavi malecha Shabbos that's mufka from shiurei malacha from malechas from the totzah of malacha. Okay, so it would be as if conceptually a person would do a ma'isa malacha that had no product. Okay, so of course that's not a chilul Shabbos. You understand? But if the third grape is not necessary, since the maisa has the shem malacha, and it's only the product of pikuach nefesh that is removed from the system, the third grape will now define the whole maisa as a maisa malacha. You understand? So that's his way of looking at the chuya. Whereas hutra means this maisa has no character of malacha. This maisa is the maisa itself is not within the category of malacha vis-a-vis this day. So that's the way he looks at it. He says, hutra, no, it's basically where is the hafkah of the malacha occurring? In the ikar shame of the maisa itself, this this category of activity is no longer considered within the realm of malachas, of malacha? Or is it that the Torah is simply substituting its product for your product? And if it's the product of mitzvah, of pikuach nefesh, that's not considered malachas adam anymore. That's not considered your maisa malacha. The nafkamina is, if there's an extra berry on there, if the maisa midin malacha is not a maisa malacha, then adding something to a nothing is a nothing. You understand? But if you're going to, knows the product is like a shear in the quality of the maisa. That's the way he's looking at it. And the chuya is going to remove the products from the maisa. Putra is going to remove the quality from the maisa itself. So the nafkamina is going to be when there's an extra product. If it's the chuya, so it's only considered not a malacha because the malacha is because the ochel nefesh totsa'ah is not considered to be a totsa'ah malacha, not considered to be an outcome of malacha. But if there's an extra on there, then that will be. Whereas if you say hutra, it means to say the whole malacha is considered a different activity. It's a different kind of an activity itself. And it's not an activity in the realm of Maisa Malacha. Therefore, it doesn't matter if I, then it would be like, okay, I got a fresh fruit on Shabbos without picking it off the tree. All right, great. There's nothing wrong with that. You understand? Nothing wrong with the outcome. It doesn't come from the activity. So I think that's the way he's looking at it. Whereas apparently the other Rishonim are looking at it. Now, I'll have to come back. So why does he use that Lashon Tircha by Yantav? It's interesting. He and Rashi, Ubavad Sheyehei B'Torach Echad. Why is he... Why? What's the terminology of tircha? He says, but by Yom Tov, yeah, afilu, it's huta. She'ochel nefesh huta ba. The afilu efshem erev Yom Tov shari. That's his proof. Kol shu mar be'al ikar. That's a little bit, the lashon is a little bit strange, but it means to say, the ochel nefesh is hutar, even when you're, as long as you're marbe on that original ikar. But if you have a new tircha, then it's going to be, then it's going to be a new nisra. Then tosvaso is kamohu. But if it's a different tircha, like another pot for the non-Jew, that would have a different shem halacha. But why do they use the lashon tircha? It's an interesting question. Why does it say, Ubavad Shei Hei B'maisa Echad? Why does he use the lashon tircha? That's not a good question. So what about the other Rishonim? That hold, maybe, like, yeah.
Sorry to believe.
Yeah, maybe you're right. I'll tell you what I'm thinking about. I'm just not sure if it works out fully. But the thing is, I was talking to David about this earlier also, is that on Yom Tov, see, on Yom Tov, there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov in terms of malacha. In terms of the very the nature of the Isser malacha of Shabbos and Yom Tov are really qualitatively different. Although they both have malacha, the malacha relates to the Yom in a very different way. And Shabbos, the Kedusha Shabbos, is the cessation of malacha. That is part of the very Kedusha Shabbos. Because Shabbos is keneged Brias Olam, and it's the Shvisa of the Yom HaShvi. So the very part of the very substance of the day is Shvisa. And to be Osek in Malacha is like a Kfira being Kofer in the very Kedusha of the day itself. Right? The whole Kedusha Sayom is Shvisa. And engaging in malacha is antithetical to the very nature of the day, okay. But Yom Tov is different. Yom Tov malacha and Yom Tov is not an ikar in the same way it is on Shabbos. Malacha and Yom Tov really is more of a functional idea. It facilitates the essence of the day, which is simcha lefnei Hashem. A person is osik in malacha. He can't be fully engaged in simcha. That's why on Yom Tov, Ochel Nefesh is mutter, because Malacha is only usher in the sense that it's a that it takes the person away from his Simcha b'fnei Hashem. But those things that are part of his Simcha are not usher. In other words, you wouldn't be able to make a compromise like that on Shabbos, because the very the kedusha, the whole idea of Shabbos, Shmira Shabbos itself, is really a recognition of the Maisa Brachos, which is culminates in the Shvisa of Yom HaShvi'i. So just the productivity itself, being productive in any way, in any type of creation, is antithetical to the idea of the Kedusha Shvi'i. But the Kedushas Yom Tov is really a Kedusha of Lifnei Hashem. And the Malacha really represents a, so to speak, a Tircha of the Gavra that's going to be Matriach in his own things, takes him away from his focus on Lifnei Hashem. So a lot of times in Yontif, you'll see that the that Tircha is like a barometer, because the inyan of Malacha is an inyan of Tircha. It's not an inyan of productivity. Shabbos, the product is primary, because we don't want to be involved in creative acts. It's the creativity of the thing that itself is what we're avoiding. But by Yom Tov, it's more an inyan of the tirdas height of being a torah, and therefore being taken away from the focus of simcha. So I think in general, it's just malachos and Yom Tov. A lot of times you see that kind of a question. Like, even though it's mutter, if it's a tircha, it's going to be answer. I believe, I haven't done this in a long time, but I believe by the inyan of borer and Yom Tov, it's if it's a borer for ochel nefesh, the question is, what's the bigger tircha? It's not a question of ochel mitoch psolas or psolas mitoch ochel. If it's Shabbos, it has to be ochel mitoch psolas miyad. On Yom Tov, if the psolas mitoch ochel is more efficient, then that's the way you should do it, because you should minimize the tircha. It's really mutter for ochel nefesh. The only thing is, you still shouldn't do it in a way that has a bigger tircha. So maybe the Ran is just being more overly inclusive over here. He's saying, if in fact, even if it was mutter midin hutra, even though conceptually, if it's one maisa and really come under hutra, but if it would create a bigger tircha, it would still be aser. If a guy, we're not allowed to be kotzer on Yom Tov, but if in our example, in order to get the bigger pan on the fire would create a huge tircha, maybe he holds me the rabbanon, that would be aser too. He doesn't want to say it's mutter. I don't think it would turn it into a new malacha, but into a nisim malacha. But maybe he's just being more. I'm not sure if he's using the lashon tircha, because that's just the lashon. That's like the lashon of malacha legabi yom tov is more in the framework of tircha, or if he's actually saying halachically speaking, it would be nisim drabanan of tircha. I mean, there are certain things that are usher on Yom Tov and Shabbos simply because of tircha, like mefana. You're not allowed to move stuff around, empty out a warehouse. There's no malach involved, but there is still an inyan of being tarred and other things. All right, I don't know.
So you're saying either he...
No, the Ron is saying if he had two branches, one had two and one had three, it'd be an issur d'oraisa to take the one with three.
Right.
But if he only had the one with the three, of course you have to take it. Because now the only way to get the three, to get the two, is to take the three. So then the three becomes necessary by circumstance.
But then it's no longer that it's necessary via...
I'm just in the middle of learning. Can I call you back in like a half an hour? Okay, no problem. Yeah, go ahead, Devin.
Yeah, when you're talking about Dehuya, that you were saying that it sounds like from the...
In other words, the way the Ron is looking at it is... that the difference between Hutra and Dehuya is both the rendering the Maisa permissible, even Lagabi Shabbos, right? But the question is, so to speak, like how deep into Hilchos Shabbos does the heter bore? Is it picking the low-hanging fruit and just saying whatever, what is the least intervention into Hilchos Shabbos that would allow you to save a chola and not violate Shabbos? Okay, well, we can redefine the products. That doesn't tamper with the essence of Hilchos Shabbos. You understand? Because the Iker is not saying that Legabi Chola, there are 38 Malachos. We're not saying that, right? We're saying that Hilchos Shabbos as a structure remains intact, but the necessity of Chola will remove the product from the eyes of Shabbos, so to speak. So it's like I used to always tell the guys, like if you put on your halachic glasses, you wouldn't see those two fruits. It would just seem like a guy's doing an action with no, with nothing there, right? But the third fruit you would see. So that would be dechuya, as opposed to hutra, means to say the system of Shabbos is different as a system legabi chola. Now there are 38 malachos because this chola has a need. Oh, well then, if there are only 38 malachos and I'm doing the erstwhile 39th, then it doesn't matter if I'm Mosif on that because it's not a malach anymore. You understand? So he says, Legabe Yom Tov, Legabe Yom Tov, the relationship between Ochel Nefesh and Malacha is like a hutra. Within the Lifnei Ochel Nefesh, there's no concept of Malacha. It's not that the product is good because it's good for you. It's not mutter because the product is going to satisfy you. It's Lifnei Ochel Nefesh, there's no Malacha. Then it doesn't matter if I add a little more. You understand? As long as you can't say that I'm engaged in a totally new activity. It could be also tircha would be a measure of that. I'm not sure. Okay. But that's the chilek between Shabbos and Yom Tov. Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Rabbi, where you mentioned the sugya, just you mentioned Agav Orche that the borer by Yom Tov is.
So what do the other Rishonim hold? Apparently, the other Rishonim hold that even the Huya, yeah. The other Rishonim was saying that what? That if it's the Huya, so now that means I am allowed to do this Maisa. I'm allowed to do this Maisa Katsira. If the Maisa Kotsir has a shame heter because of the Chola, then the fact that there's another Grogeres cannot change that. The heter is in terms of, there's a specific heter in terms that they're learning, even the Chuya means that it's Matir the Maisa. It's a Matir on the Maisa. Hutra would mean there's no inyan of malacha. The huya means the heter of the huya goes down to the maisa agavra. And in terms of the maisa agavra, the fact that there's an extra one is not cannot change that. Let's think about the other side of the huya. I have to think about it a little more. I'm not sure exactly how they're learning, but. That's definitely the essential question over here. Let me just try to answer the Minchas Chinuch question though. Okay, we'll think about the Chuya more for the other Shitas. But I want to answer the Minchas Chinuch question. Minchas Chinuch has a very strange question. He says like this, let's take the Ran. He's focused on the Ran, right? What do you think of this question? He says, he considers it to be analogous. If I need two grogros and I cut down a stem that has three, so since the third is unnecessary, that will be an issur d'oraisa, according to the Ran, right? If I can get a stalk with two, assuming I can get a stalk with two. Now let's say I have a chola who needs, like I said before, 10 pounds of meat, okay? And I have two cows in front of me. One with 10 pounds of meat and one with 20 pounds of meat. So the Ran, the Minchas Chinuch says, according to the Ran, if I shech the cow with 20 pounds of meat, I'll be over Nisha D'oraisa. And he says, that's a plea. He's never heard anything like this before. And he says that that's a problem. But not only that, he says the problem with the Gemara in Chulin, right? Because the Gemara in Chulin says, you can shecht for a chola. The Gemara in Chulin says, by shecht for a chola, the bari can eat umtsa, right? That's what they call steak tartare, right? In other words, raw meat. Because we're not choshesh, there's nothing to worry about. There's no marba b'shurim over there, right? In other words, if a person is a chola, if I cook meat for a chola on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, the bari can't eat that meat. He can't eat any of the leftovers, right? Because we're worried, shema yarba b'shvilo. But by shochet, you don't say such a thing, okay? So his question is, according to the Ran, this should be the same problem. Because maybe it'll be marba b'shvilo. In other words, by bishul, it's also for the bari to eat anything that was prepared for the chola, because with choshesh you'll be marba b'shvilo, right? So that works. That at least works out well for the Ran, correct? Because he learns this is the raisa to be marba b'shvilo. The other Rishon learns this is the rabban's marba b'shvilo, whatever it is. But you're not allowed to. The bari is not allowed to eat that which was mavushal for the chola on Shabbos, because of we're worried you'll be marba b'shvilo. But we don't say that by the shechita. We don't say that if it was shechted for the bar for the chola, that the bari can't have any of that meat raw, because maybe if you allow him to do that, then the next time there's a chola, everybody will join in and say, oh, shech the big one, shech the big one, right? So why aren't we worried about being marba b'shvilo by shechita? If you held ribo shirim is d'oraisa, you should have the same problem by shechita that they have by bishul. If you hold marba b'shvilo is d'oraisa, you should have the same problem by shechita they have by bishul, right? By bishul, you can learn the problem is maybe you'll cook it in a separate ma'isa. So that's how, you know what I mean, if you're going to learn like the other shechitas, that marba is not usher. So maybe they'll be worried that you'll actually do a separate ma'aseh bishul. And by shechita, there's nothing to worry about. You're not going to do two shechitas, right? But according to the Ran, you should be worried that you'll shech the bigger cow. So the question is like this. Basically, it boils down to this. Very simple thought problem, okay? If I say that cooking five pieces of meat when I need one piece of meat is an issa d'oraisa, right? Or picking a branch that has three berries when I need two is an issa d'oraisa, because the third one is because the malacha is going to, the maisa malacha will relate to the third one. Is that analogous to saying if I shecht more meat than I need, that the extra meat is going to be, because of the extra meat that becomes mutter, now the shechita is considered to be a maisa malacha? In other words, is the extra meat like an extra fruit? So that's the way the Minchas Chinuch is thinking about it. He's saying, just like if I cut the branch that had two, that wouldn't be a Maisa Malacha, but because of this three, it is because of the third. So too, when I shecht the meat that I need, that's not a Maisa Malacha. But if I shecht more than I need, it should be. He says, that assumption or that way of thinking about it leads him down several problems. But the question is that a valid analogy or not? And if not, why? And if not now, when? I think the mistake is like this, that what is the outcome of Katsira? Fruit. That's the outcome of Katsira, right? So if I have three fruits on the branch, so it's ki'ilu, I'm picking each fruit individually. But I'm doing it by my sachas, okay? So the fact that two of them are not relating to, are not considered to be a maisa, are not, will not qualify my maisa as malacha, doesn't prevent the third from qualifying my maisa as malacha, okay?
Sorry, can you repeat what you just said?
Yeah, I said, what is the malacha of kotzer? It's harvesting fruit, right? So I have three fruits on a branch. So each one really is its own maisa katsira. The only thing is, if I cut the branch of the base, so it's like I'm doing one Maisa Ketzira, I'm simultaneously doing three Maisa Ketzira. You could look at it that way, okay? Because the product is the fruit, from the detaching it from the tree. So the fact that I need two of them doesn't remove the Maisa Ketzira, doesn't prevent the third one from qualifying my Maisa as Kotzer. That's what I said. Okay. But let me ask you this. What really is the what is the product of Shechita? What I'm saying is, think about it conceptually, not associated with any particular case. If I ask you, what's the product of Kotzer, you'll say it's a fruit, right? You'll say it's a fruit. Okay, so Kotzer is a fruit. So now, when I do a Ketzira that has an extra fruit, oh, so now my Maisa Ketzira is going to relate to that fruit. That now I have completed both halves of the Maisa of Malacha. I've done the action and I've got the product, right? And the product that I got has nothing to do with the heter of Ochol Nefesh, of Chola that I needed. It's completely outside of Chola, right? It's completely extraneous to the Totsah that the Chola needed. So it's simultaneously, I'm doing two things. It's like I'm doing a Ketzira that has this negated product, plus while I'm doing a Ketzira that has a legitimate product, whatever. However you want to consider it, legitimate in terms of the Isser Malacha. But what's the product of, so the chinuch, the minchas chinuch is assuming, he's carrying over that line of thinking, and he's saying, what is the product of shechita? Kosher meat. So now, this amount of kosher meat is going to be mufka from Shabbos because of the chola, but the other 10 pounds are not. So now it's like I did now my Maisa Shechita is qualified by the product of kosher meat. That's his question. Right? But maybe we can redefine the product of the Shechita. It's not the kosher meat.
It's the entity.
It's the heter. That's right. It's the heter of Eiver Min HaChai. It's the matir of Eiver Min HaChai. It's the tikkun of the shechita. And that's one qualitative concept. That's a qualitative entity. That's a qualitative idea. That you don't look at the shechita like it is relate, like it's a maisa ketzira to every little berry on the branch. You understand? You can't differentiate the meat into different little pieces and say, this Maisa Shechita was Matir, this piece, this piece, this piece, this piece, this piece. There's a shame in the Behema that the Shechita changes. That shame is one unified conceptual entity. And as long as the Chola needs some of it, you can't differentiate and say, well, this part of the shame was not, there's no such thing as this part of the shame and that part of the shame. It's a unified entity. It's a real unification, Josh, not like the other unifications. So therefore, it's impossible to differentiate and say the Maisa Shechita is going to relate to different parts of the animal in different ways. That's not possible. According to the Ran, there's nothing to worry about. Even if you could need, maybe it's about Tashkas, but there's nothing in terms of Shabbos. There's no, Shabbos is going to be now the tikkun of the behema, the tikkun of the shame of the behema is now an inyan of chola, and therefore the tikkun doesn't have parts. So there's no way to differentiate between saying you have to shech the smaller animal. That'd be like saying you need a smaller tikkun. There's no such thing as a smaller tikkun.
Rebbe.
Yeah.
The raya for that would be
just getting back to the chakira menachos. So it comes out that really, according to the Ran, it's a very good chakira, because in terms of Malecha Shabbos, it really is indistinguishable, right? In other words, the guy needs two berries, and one stalk has and there are two stalks with one berry each, or one stalk with three. So in either way, there's going to be an extra involvement in Malecha Shabbos, right? That's why it's a good chakir, according to him. right? There's going to be an extra involvement in Malacha Shabbos, either two Maisei Kotzer, or one Maisa that is going to have an extra product. So the Gemara says it's better to minimize the involvement of the Gavra in Malacha than to worry about the extra Totzah. But for him, it's a good... But he says if you hold Marv Bishurim is not an Isser, then there's no question. But for him, it's an interesting question because there's a loss on either side, right? In terms of Maisa versus product. And that's exactly the chilek that we're making of you. Understand? Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to... I wanted to go over one point we were talking about on Friday about the idea of shechita being a matir. And we were trying to answer the question of the Minchas Chinuch that if you hold that being Mosif al Hashir is an Issur D'oraisa, when you have a chola and you're doing the malach for the chola, to be Mosif al Hashir would be an Issur D'oraisa, like take the stalk with three if you had two and three to choose from, then the Minchas Chinuch says, so you should find in the halacha that there's a problem to shecht a large animal if you only need a small animal, right? Yeah, so someone mentioned that it would be similar to picking a big fruit when you only need the small fruit. But I don't know if that's not analogous to what I was saying. In other words, if a guy had, if you needed a certain quantity of fruit, I mean, it's a good point because the Gemara doesn't have those cases. The Gemara only has cases where you're dealing with units. But still, it's different than Shechita, okay? In other words, what I was trying to say by Shechita is that the Ran's formulation is saying that the Malacha still exists, right? But we're going to judge by the product of Ochel Nefesh that removes it from Isser, okay? But it doesn't, there's no din that the mice does not have the quality of malacha, potentially at least. So therefore, if the chola needs a certain amount and you have a choice to choose that amount and you take more than is necessary, then on the remnant, it will qualify the mice of the malacha, right? Because now you'll have a product of the mice of the malacha that does not have the quality of pikuach nefesh. So now you'll have completed the circle. You'll have checked off both boxes. There's the maisa malacha, and you have a shear. Right? I think that would also be true if a guy needed a certain amount of a fruit, and he could pick a big fruit and a small fruit. That's not. I think that could be the same thing. That's essentially the Minchas Chinuch's question. But what I was trying to say on Friday is that Shechita is still different because when I do Ketzira and I pick a fruit, so I have the Maisa is Tlisha, right? Like Rashi says over there, you're doing one Tlisha. So the Maisa is Tlisha, separating something from where it's growing. And then you have to evaluate if there is a product. So the product of pikuach nefesh is not regarded, but whatever is extra, as long as it's not necessary for what you need, is considered to be your product of malacha. Okay. But what I was trying to say by the shechita is that the product of shechita is the shame heter and the behema. That's not subject to division. As the fruit, I can look at the fruit. The fruit is a substance. It's a simple substance. Okay, I need 1 ounce of the fruit. If the fruit has 3 ounces, so I'll say, well, what did the tolesh produce, right? What did my maisa tlisha produce? Well, it produced now 2 ounces of food that have no shaychas to the chola. Okay, so the direct object of my maisa tlisha is going to be that extra fruit. You understand? And I can kind of look at the fruit as a substance, and say substance is divisible. This amount of the substance was necessary. That amount of the substance was not. And my Maisa Tlisha will be qualified by what was not. Okay. But what I'm trying to say, and you tell me if it makes sense or not, is that by Shechita, it's true, ultimately, when I do Shechita, I produce meat that I can eat. But it's not the same relationship between Shechita and the Heter and the food that I can eat and the Tlisha and the product of the fruit. See, by the Shechita, there is first an intermediary step in truth, and that is the shame heter, that's chal on the behemah. That shame heter is really the product of my shechita. Because of the shame heter, I can eat it. But that shame heter is one indivisible change of chalos. And there's no such thing as saying it's a bigger shechita or a smaller shechita. In other words, if I do a katsira that yields more food, I can say, well, that was a qualitatively bigger maisa katsira. Why? Because I can say that the product had more quantity, more substance in my product, right? Right. If a guy hits a baseball, you say, oh, that was a big hit. I mean, it was a big hit. It means if we go by the outcome of the action, he produced more of an outcome. Right, he has a greater quantity in his product. So I can say larger or smaller in that sense. So in that sense, I could say if a guy does a katsira that yields more than he needs, so that's a greater or yields more than another one. That's a greater maisa of kotzer. In a certain sense, I can call it that way. Right, but I don't. But what I'm trying to say is you can't say that by shechita. There's no such thing as saying it's a bigger or a smaller maisa shechita. Shechita is a qualitatively, the only product of shechita is the change of chal hashem. That's not subject to quantity. So therefore, now what results from that shechal, from the change of that chal hashem is that I have more meat to eat, but that is not the direct product of the maisa shechita. The Maisa Shechita is a halachic change of Chal Hashem. It's not a harvesting of a food. It's not a harvesting. It's a shinoi in the Chal Hashem. And that change is not subject to quantity. So therefore, it's not possible to say you can't be mosif in the shir of the shechita. The shir shechita, the product of shechita is not quantitative; it's qualitative. So there's no such thing as being mosif. What do you mean? I did more of a shechita? Why? I had more of a I had a greater change of chal hashem. There's no such thing as a greater or lesser change of chal hashem. If it's a maisa that yields a physical product, then I can say, okay, I got more of the product. But if it's a maisa that creates a qualitative change of shame, that quality is not in the realm of magnitude. There's no such thing as a magnitude of the quality. It might have a bigger effect, but that's l'acher mikan. When I want to evaluate the maisa, I've got to evaluate the maisa in terms of its direct object. The direct object of the maisa shechita is the shame heter. Now the shame heter is in what? Okay, that's true, but that's not the direct result of the maisa shechita. Whereas the direct result of the maisa tlisha is I have a substance of I have a certain substance now that was changed. That was produced. I produced a certain substance. Shechita doesn't produce, it creates a change. And that change is productive, but you don't evaluate the change in the framework of quantity. Right, the Minchas Chinuch is looking at it like a bigger fruit. And he's saying, okay, so now it's like I picked more than I need. But I'm saying, no, maybe you can say the other way. Maybe by Shechita it's different. Right? In other words, by shechita, you can only say whether it was effective or ineffective. There's no such thing as saying it's bigger or smaller in any way. Now, only in a more attenuated way, you could say the effect now, this heter achila, this effect of shechita, resulted in more food. But that's a second move. That comes after the fact. That's not the direct object of the shechita. It's the hechsher it's the hechsher itself. All right. Okay, it's true. I mean, what the malach of shechita is a good question. But okay, let's go weiter. Ready? Let's take the next topic here.